Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. I'm going to talk a little bit about something I saw on CNN. They ran a three-day series on God's warriors. It's pretty interesting and informative. Of course, it was one-sided. It was looking at basically the radicals of various religions. They were pretty much talking about Islam, Judaism, and Christianity, and about the radicals of these groups that feel that they need to actually do some sort of actions to force out, basically, on everybody else their views of their religion, and that they want everybody to come along and conform to their religion, basically, and they do it in various kinds of ways that are that affect people, sometimes killing them, making laws, and so forth and so on. Religions through the millennia has always had a degree of violence involved. And, you know, once when you have a faith and you strongly believe something, you can act pretty violent, you know. And it at least makes for a really good discussion and arguments, because usually it's pretty hard to convince somebody when they really believe something. You can't really argue any points to them. To persuade somebody differently, it's a task. And so many people have developed their own kinds of doctrines to go out and do things. And CNN had produced this series, God's Warriors, and covered the more radical versions of it. And of course, we heard enough about Islam and everything. Hear that every day. Don't need to go into that. And Judaism's been around for quite a while, and my program is dealing with Christian. And they covered areas that is kind of concern to me, because it's just amazing what Christians can do in the name of God, and how they think that the Bible is telling us to go out and literally change the world and conform it to our way of thinking. Because this isn't in the Bible. The words in the Bible are more in the long, you know, for when we got into Christianity. You know, in the Old Testament, yeah, God said, go over to Canaan, destroy every human being, destroy their animals. Kill everybody, man, woman, child, animals, everything. Kill them. Wipe them out. Don't make them anymore. And of course, we know the Hebrew people didn't obey God. They did it haphazardly and left a lot living, and this became a sore spot from then on in the history of Judaism, because they left all these people alive. Now, to argue a point, should they have slaughtered all these people like God said? Well, we weren't back in those days, and to try to figure out the, you know, is God mean and everything like that, and just want to mass murder and all that, well, you know, that's a different type of topic, and it takes a lot of understanding to know these kinds of stuff. But anyway, comes along Christianity, and we begin to get this kind of thing that we're told that we're saved by grace. That whosoever believes. You know, we get these kind of wonderful words from Jesus. We have, blessed are the feet. Blessed are the feet that go and preach the gospel, that brings the gospel. The gospel is good news. People like the Sadducees We had a couple of ones that were often talked about, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Well, the Sadducees were looking for a Messiah that would come and be a king and lead an army to win back the land for Israel, so that Israel can become a nation again and have their own king. And they were disappointed when they saw Jesus, because Jesus was letting everybody hit him and all that kind of stuff, you know, turn the other cheek, you know, do good to those that persecute you and all that, and love your enemy, and you know, he had some pretty radical ideas. They didn't want to see this. They wanted to see some man rise up powerful and go and raising a sword and going out and getting back Israel. Then you had the Pharisees. They're into the courts, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and the legalistic matters and everything, and want to go down and try to figure out every jot and tittle of the Word of God and make sure people, you know, kind of obey and stick with that, or otherwise, you know, they're... So we got these kind of radical examples back in Jesus' day. Now, if we look at the over, you know, if what is really difficult to understand is how come these people that decide that the way to minister is to go out to radically change everybody's life and not give them a choice. Hey, you know, there's lots of sins in the world. There's lots of activities people are doing that is not necessarily what we would like to call Christian, or we don't necessarily think that is of God. But there's 6 billion people plus. There's more than 6 billion people in the world. Most people, you know, when we read the Bible, aren't going to make it. Why are you trying to legislate, as it were, the world to conform to what you want to believe? The message that God gave us is our feet is going to take us someplace. When we get to that spot, there's going to be somebody there, and we're going to do our darndest to speak out some kind of words and stuff to say, you know, how great it is to come to Jesus, what he has provided for us, and how wonderful it is to walk with him and to have the personal relationship. We're a witness of Jesus Christ. And we're showing people the way. If you believe that he's the Son of God. If you don't, it's no or never mind. We don't need to go and say, hey, if you keep on living the way you are, we're going to go and we're going to raise up our armies of Pharisees to go out there and get our all knowledgeable in the law and change the law of the land. We will force you to believe like us, or we will force you to obey the laws we believe in. Somehow or another, so many Christians really get this idea that the way to live for Christ is to change laws. I don't know how you got this idea. It's not in the New Testament. The big thing is, you know, you vote Republican is the big word you hear. It's kind of interesting. If we get Christianity, we can almost cut it in half, and we have a good portion that is Democrat and a good portion that is Republican. If they choose to affiliate with one or the other, or to vote a certain way, and it's really, you know, when I'm hearing all these kinds of stuff. When you get turn on TBN or see some of these, somehow they've gotten the name religious right or something. They're dominant on the airwaves, anyway. And they go into ready-made groups of people, the churches and everything, and say, you know, if you don't vote Republican, then you're not of God, essentially. They say in a kind of a public fashion, because they're not supposed to say a particular candidate or something, but they say vote, and then the rest is implying. And a great deal of effort is put into trying to get you to vote certain laws into being so that the whole country has to obey the laws that these particular Christians want, because they think these are God's laws or something, and so it should be the law of the land. You know, I don't care how wonderful the Bible is and how wonderful God's laws are and how just and everything it is. This is the world, people. It's something that it's real. Jesus didn't tell us to go in there and take up arms and go shoot everybody that doesn't believe. He didn't say to rise up armies so you can man the telephone lines, to walk the sidewalks, to knock on doors and to say, vote this way, vote the way that we want you to go to Congress and apply tons of pressure on them to get them to pass laws that you think has to be the law of the land so it could get back to God. Oh, let's get back to our founding fathers. Don't you know the history of the United States? Don't you know the history of Europe in the attempt to get to the United? We just think, oh, the Christians came over. The Christians didn't, people. The Christians didn't come over. They're back in Europe. There's this set of Christians in religious set that were extreme. We call them Puritans. You have to go into a small community, some faraway place, out of the mainstream, to find the kinds of people that you are claiming to be the founders of this country. You won't live your life, no matter how much you get any kind of law into Congress to pass, to live like they do. And they're the ones you refer to as to how what Christians came to the United States, came to America to have this religious freedom, as they say. When they were back in Europe, they were persecuted. They were hated. They were run out of town. These are the people that we would run out of town if they started taking over. And this is when we say, get back to our foundation. We talk about, oh, our founding fathers, like the people that signed the Constitution. The people that signed the Constitution were all but one Masons. People, a Mason has specifics. Real life. You can find out what Masons are. They're not wonderful, fantastic Christians, believers in God and everything. Oh, you know, it's a complexity for sure, but they are not examples to live by. They have a good little belief system, and lots of people are really decent trying to do good, but they also have their particular goals in life, and they have their particular leaders that are certainly not Christian. Because at a certain level in Masonry, you're not Christian because you think God is the dark God. There's no exception. These are the people that you say are the Christian founders. Let's get back to our roots. People, it isn't the manner that God has called you to do, to go out and make and force people to abide by God's laws. It's not your job. God's got plans for unbelievers. God planted Satan planted tares amongst God's good wheat. So the tares are going up there. God doesn't say go out and dig up the tares. It's going to hurt you. But at a certain time, when it's time for the end, and the rapture is going to take place, yes, then the tares are going to be yanked out and all that, because you're going to be leaving. So what is the way of Christianity that we see publicly, at least politically, And that is that you want to change what Jesus says. Jesus wants you to be a witness. He wants you to explain to people about your faith. He wants you to say, why should I take Jesus? Why should I accept this person? And why did you accept him? Did you accept him because you were immoral and you had to change? How many of you saw that, God's Warriors? 2 hours. And you know, they went through person by person, all the famous ones. Of course, you know, there's lots of other people, and when they're doing media presentation, they will catch the phrases they want. So you can go back to those pastors later on, or those people they talked to, and they said an awful lot in that interview, but CNN only took these couple of phrases out of my mouth and used them on the air. But this is what we see, because these people, so many of you have a concept about Jesus that disappears the rest of the world. It is really amazing. Is this incomprehensible? How can you narrowize Jesus down to basically two sins? And that all of Christianity and all of purity is based on two sins. And you can almost not talk about any other sin. Group after group, no matter how famous, no matter how many people assembled together, it was two. You didn't hear about murder. You didn't hear about rape. You didn't hear about lies and deceit and injustice. You didn't hear about the many horrible kinds of things people do. Abusive things in people's relationships. Wife beaters. You don't hear this kind of stuff. You don't hear any other kind of basically what we might be considered moral sin. What we hear when we go to you, when CNN or any news go, they go to you, hold the microphone up to you, point the camera to you, and interview you, and you know what they're going to pick out of your mouth? They're going to pick out the two things that are always consistent in your way of trying to say what is moral. And they're abortion, and there is, now it's gay marriage, but basically it's a gay issues. Why? Why is Christianity two things? I can't understand this. I think Christianity is a lot more than these two things. But the world tunes into Christianity. Click channel, read something, all this kind of stuff. Go to your church. What do we get? What do they hear? What's the world hear about Christianity? Two things. Anti-abortion and anti-gay. That's your lot in life, how you summarize Christianity to the world. This is your view of Jesus. When you say morality, there's two things in your thoughts. Gays and abortionists. Now people, why? Why can't you think Jesus died for everybody's sin? Jesus actually became a man. I mean, how do you do that? The infinity of the universe. And then you could top that by putting it to the 10th power, past that, and then go to the 20th power, and how big is the universe? How big is it out there? And God's there. And Jesus came into... How do you define the concept of what God did for you? He became locked in this little shell like we are. But we're used to it. This is us. We live life all the time. God, omnipresent, omnipowerful, locked himself up in a human body for those 33 years. Why? To die specifically for you. Why? Because your sins was enough to give you eternal hell. Why are you judging anybody else's sins when your sins was enough to get you eternal hell and Jesus died on the cross for you? The message is what Jesus did for you, he does for others. Who cares what your sin is? And see, it is difficult to say who cares what your sin is, because you know what you do? A good number of you, when you say, what is sin? And you'll say, abortion and gays. If you're pressed, you might say murderers. I mean, it's really difficult to get you to vocalize in any kind of a setting so that when the public comes around or news teams come around, they can get anything more than abortion. Okay, now, I don't care what people think about abortion. I am not one that's going to stand up here and say, I support abortion, because I don't. But it's not my business. Just because I believe something that lots of people believe things. So it is not, when I see a person, now if they want to discuss this issue or something, I can only say what I think, not necessarily what I know, because that abortion thing is a tremendous thing. It takes so much of your time, you cannot witness to the person and get them saved. Or if you do get them saved, you give them this false idea, which I'm going to talk about now as an example. There's a group that they had on CNN, Warriors, God Warriors. I've got to try to hurry up here. I've seen them before. Wasn't sure what they were. They had huge numbers of people. It was it's a group called Teen Mania. And what they do is meet apparently every once a year in San Francisco. Last time, I guess they had 22,000 people. The first time I saw it, they had this theme or some bound for life. And they do practice so that when it comes on, it's really a really fantastic presentation, and you get the feeling that these kids are absolutely having a zapping from God, emotional experience, the Holy Spirit on them, and they're shedding tears and everything, and they're crying out, bound for life, bound for life. Little kids. Well, teenagers, you know, they're pretty much adults and everything, but they don't know the way the life is. When you get some of this gray stuff here, lose some of this stuff up here, you start getting to know what life is. Been around the block once or twice. And so, they're preaching the message. All these wonderful people, they could say, Jesus came. Believe in him. But no, they got to say the two themes, abortion and gays. You got to say, they get them, say, commit yourself to be bound for life. Means don't have sex until you get married. Wonderful thing, but we have 6,000 years experience that shows ain't gonna happen. We got 69% of single Christians ain't doing it. We got 60% divorce rate. It ain't gonna happen. People, if you don't know Jesus, turn to him right now and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third. A simple prayer gets you saved. Now read the King James Version of the Bible. See you next week.